Welcome to StarNet Regions 1 and 3 podcast. My name is Dr. Annie Ranking, and I am a family resource specialist with StarNet Regions 1 and 3. If you'd like to find out more about us, please visit us at starnet.org. Welcome, everyone, to StarNet Regions 1 and 3 podcast. I am really excited to have Jamie Swindell with us. She is going to talk to us about the IFSP process, which is the Individual Family Service Plan. So, Jamie, welcome, and can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Annie. My name, like you said, is Jamie Swindell. I am a first-year faculty member at a university here in St. Louis, Missouri. I teach primarily early childhood and early childhood special education courses, and just recently relocated from Illinois, where I completed my doctoral work and worked really closely with the early intervention training program in Illinois. I was also able to provide some technical assistance and training for early childhood professionals, families, and early interventionists in my previous role as an inclusion consultant. So as an inclusion consultant, I spent a lot of time advocating for children, for teachers, and for families. And I would actually spend a lot of time working through this IFSP process with families and childcare providers so we could come up with shared goals and shared visions on what this process would look like and what the outcome would be for their family, their childcare program, and more specifically and importantly, that child, right? But before I got into more of that consulting and technical assistance role, I was an infant, toddler, and two-year-old teacher for many, many years. So I do find myself drawn to infants and toddlers and working with their families because I find that in serving infants and toddlers, it's natural that you're going to also provide some parent education and parent coaching. So starting out in the classroom as a classroom teacher, being able to start identifying developmental concerns, having those difficult conversations with family members, making referrals, helping families through that referral process, and then creating a useful, meaningful IFSP, which is the legal document that guides our service delivery in early intervention, has always been really important for me as I've grown in my profession and continue to think about how we can best serve families specifically for advocating in their best interest for their child, but then in this collaboration and teaming that we do to make sure everyone's on the same page, that we're working towards those shared goals, and that we're able to provide the best services to support that child's development in the context of what their family thinks is important and valuable.
Excellent. So you've started from classroom teacher, and now you're all the way up to kind of higher ed. And it sounds like you've done a lot of things in the middle, but always really focusing on that inclusion. So to kind of start with, can you talk through the IFSP process, kind of starting from that eligibility piece?
Sure. So before a child and a family is going to have an IFSP, they're going to need to be found eligible or qualified to enter into the early intervention system or early intervention services. So there's a few routes that families can be referred into early intervention, maybe their pediatrician, their childcare provider, or another community service agency would provide a referral to early interventions, and families can self-refer as well. So after that happens, we've made that connection with the EI system, the family's going to work with a service coordinator. And on a national scale, every family working in early intervention will have a service coordinator. That is one federally mandated service that all children that are entering EI would receive. We'll talk a little bit about the other services children might receive under their IFSP, but the service coordinator is really the person that is helping the family navigate this entire process and is the lead on the team of professionals that will be working with the child and family. So the service coordinator is going to assist the family in going through the intake and the family assessment process. And this is when we're going to identify concerns that the family has, information about the child, maybe their birth story, or any information about their development thus far. And we're going to be able to talk to them about what to expect in early intervention. What is this process and program all about? So after the family has agreed to participate, then we're going to have a eligibility determination meeting. And that's when we're going to move forward with any types of assessment or screening to identify what the real needs of this child and family are.
And Jamie, basing on those needs, can you talk about why a service coordinator might ask about the birth story? Like, why is that piece of it important?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I guess backing up even further, an IFSP is designed for a child from birth to age 36 months. So for an IFSP, we're working with a child that can actually be found eligible based on medical needs at birth or any kind of trauma that might have the family might have experienced during the birth process or any other kind of social needs that they might have to be the best parents they can be for this infant, regardless of if they've been born with a medical need or another qualifying condition, or if the family is at risk for needing additional support to be the best parents and families they can be for their child.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the IFSP is different than the IEP, which if you're working in early childhood education or in a public school setting, you're probably familiar with the IEP, which is for children then 3 to 21 years old. Okay, so we are serving children birth to 3 in early intervention under Part C of IDEA. So that you know, great way to back up and really create the context of what we're talking about here. And we know that development happens so fast between birth and 36 months old. So even for older toddlers, talking about that birth story could still be important and valuable information just to help the family process as they think about what are their needs and what's going to be in their best interest. So we found that the child's eligible. Either based on a pre-existing medical condition or their development based on screening tools. And then we're going to move into a more formal evaluation and assessment. And this is where other professionals might come in, like a speech and language pathologist, a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, a developmental therapist, all of these related service providers that really are the experts in that area. So an expert in speech, an expert in motor movements, an expert in self-help and fine motor to figure out what services are going to best support this child where they are right now and where we'd like to go in the future. So after the eligibility and the assessments have been completed, now we've gathered all of this rich information from the family and anyone else that might be working with the child, like a childcare provider or maybe a grandparent or other family member. It really can be an open process to find out who this child is across settings and you know, in their interactions with other people in their environment. We've got a lot of rich information. We've been doing documentation on our conversations with the family, and now we're ready to pull all of this information together in the IFSP development meeting. Okay, so as a family member, this can be really intimidating because maybe you've worked with some of these professionals already through the assessment process. Maybe you're meeting some of these people for the first time if they're working through the family connections.
CFC?
CFC, yes, the family connection centers. But really know that all of these professionals are here for you as the family member. You're really the number one person on this team. So if you relate this back to like baseball, you're the manager of the baseball team. Okay, we want you to feel respected, to feel like we honor what you're telling us, and that we're taking that to heart when we're creating these plans and goals for your family. The related service professionals are like the fielders, the first base, second base, third base. And, you know, maybe the service coordinators like the pitcher because they're kind of communicating to everyone at the same time, keeping things moving forward, keeping the ball in play. So you know, I'm in St. Louis, so I have to use a baseball acronym. Anyways, so.
Yeah, and I think that just makes it really clear, right? Like as soon as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
So all the players and the manager are coming to this IFSP team meeting. And we are all going to sit down and talk about what you want as the family member for your child to be doing. In the context of your everyday life, right? We really want to be able to provide supports to the families so they can be confident in their abilities to best meet the needs of their child. So in this IFSP meeting, we're going to review all of that assessment data that we collected. We're going to go back and talk about that initial family assessment when we asked about your priorities and your goals, where you see your child in the next 6 months, year, 3 years. So even doing some forward thinking and forward planning. We're going to talk about your child's present levels of development. So where are they? And we're going to get that information from our evaluations, assessments, and from you as the expert on your child. We're going to then start talking about some functional goals and outcomes for your child. And this is a shared process. This is not a one-way street. This is reciprocal communication and conversations about where your child is, where they're going, and how we can get them there. So we want to make sure that we're writing goals that are specific enough, that they're measurable, that we can see progress, or we can adjust our strategies or call for a review of the IFSP if that's needed and we're not seeing progress.
Jamie, in your experience, have you been in conversations where there may be disagreements on shared goals?
Oh yeah, definitely. Sometimes I would.
And how does that process, just in general, usually work out?
I wouldn't necessarily use the word disagreement, but sometimes there's different perspectives or different priorities or opinions on where we should be spending our time working with this child, right? Or what the main focus of our work or service to this child could be. And in my experience, it's always best to err on the side of the family priorities because we know if a family doesn't have buy-in to this process or isn't invested, then we're not going to maybe see the positive and proactive outcomes that we might if the family was all in. I really think it comes down to talking it out and negotiating what we can provide and what the family is looking for.
Because part of the IFSP process is that the family is still very engaged. Yes. It's not that service providers are coming in and doing the service and then the family doesn't do anything, but that they're teaching the family these processes or procedures that you might be able to do after the service provider leaves. Is that correct?
Exactly. And so, again, the difference between that IEP and the IFSP is the family. So we do have functional family outcomes on the IFSP. This could say something like the parents will do blah, blah, blah when they're going to the grocery store with the child to support their goal number one. Okay. It could say something like their goal could say something like the child will blah, 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 when going to childcare in the morning with the support of their parents by doing blah, 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 blah. So we do have family-focused outcomes in the IFSP along with child-focused outcomes, which is different than the IEP.
Right. Are there always both or could there be?
I would say most likely there's both.
Most likely. Okay.
Most likely there's both. Yes. And again, in these very early years, kids are spending time in a variety of settings. So the child might be spending most of their time at home. They might be spending time in childcare. They might be spending times with relatives in informal care situations. And of course, with the COVID-19 pandemic, we've had to adjust what our expectations are and where children are spending their time, right? So I just say that because we would want to have appropriate goals and outcomes for that child across the settings that they're working in. So if we say parents, maybe we're also talking about grandparents or other care providers, or even goals and outcomes that the child care provider could support the family and the child in as well. So yeah, that was a great question. Thanks for mm-hmm. stopping me on that one. I think one tip for families is to come in with maybe a few ideas of what your number one goal would be. Like, if what I like to say to families is, if I could make your life easier in one way during one time of your day or in one aspect of your child's life, what would that be? And as an advocate and someone working with the family, that's like the gold standard. That's where we're going, right? So I think for families to brainstorm a few ideas of their wish list or what their, you know, top priorities would be a great way to come in prepared to show, you know, the professionals that you are ready to have these conversations, but this is what you're looking for to best support your family and your child in this whole process. And then we talk about it. And then we talk about, okay, that's your goal. How are we going to get there? Who are those related service providers that could support you in this, in these areas? And again, we go back to that assessment data to look at that present level of functioning. So are we looking at speech goals? Are we looking at motor goals? Are we looking at developmental goals for that child's kind of holistic development? And that's how we're going to plan our services, right? So we're going to identify the need and the family priorities before we start assigning service providers to work with the family. And so as we're having these conversations about goals and outcomes, all of the professionals and the family and the service coordinator are talking it out, okay? The professionals in this setting should not predetermine what the goals or outcomes should be or the services that should be delivered. This is a shared decision-making process. So we do not want to predetermine or go in with our IFSP filled out already. That is a no-no.
I was just going to say, so the IFSP should not be filled out prior to the meeting because it is a shared process. So definitely getting that family voice involved is really important.
Yes. And it's time consuming. It takes time to have these conversations. So do plan to talk to your IFSP team, you know, for 45 minutes to an hour or longer if you want to. You can advocate to keep this meeting going if you're not satisfied with whatever
goals
you've decided.
Right.
Yes, exactly. So after we figured out what we're working on, who we're working with, then we're going to start doing some scheduling and planning and determining the number of minutes of service for the child and who's going to provide those minutes of service. So that's going to start looking more like the IEP, where we start determining who the service provider will be, the frequency, the duration, and the intensity of services, right? So I think at this point, we've kind of worked through who the child is, what our goals are. We've set some concrete, measurable outcomes for the child. We decided who's going to work with the child and family to support those goals and outcomes. And we've decided, you know, what the frequency and duration of these services will be. And then we sign the IFSP document. That is a legally binding document. So we do want to provide services as written. If the family would like, they can request a review of the IEP at any time. But we do an annual review of the IFSP with the entire team. after the IFSP is written, everyone should receive a copy of that for their records and documentation. So the family should definitely request a copy of their child's IFSP if this isn't offered to you. Ask to have it mailed to your home or sent to you electronically. You'll start working with the service coordinator and those related service providers like the occupational therapist, the speech therapist, and the developmental therapist to schedule those individual therapy sessions for you, your family, and your child in whatever environment or setting that would be in. Now, we do want it to be in the natural environment, so IFSP services are not generally delivered in a clinical setting. They're generally delivered in the natural environment, so the child's home, school, or community, where children typically spend most of their days. There are exceptions where some children might benefit from more clinical or clinical-based services, but there would need to be justification for that in the IFSP itself. And then we start rolling. Then our related services start coming to work with the family and the child on whatever those individualized goals are that we've decided on together as a team. And the service coordinator is providing ongoing touch points and communication with the family and the related service providers that are on the team to make sure that everything is going smoothly, that appointments are being kept, and that we're delivering these services in a timely manner. The service coordinator will inform the family when that annual review is coming up so they can again start this process again, think about all the progress that they've made or any of those goals that they might want to adjust or change. And I also just wanted to mention, as your child gets closer to 36 months to 3 years old, then you'll start talking about transition planning in that IFSP meeting or with your service coordinator as well. So the early intervention service providers do work well in collaborating with the next step, if that is what is in the cards for your family and your child, to work with the local school district, the Part B providers to support your family and your child as you transition then to an IEP. Awesome. And IEP services.
Yeah, that is a great overview of what to expect and kind of the process for that. I know that a lot of families enter the IFSP process knowing that their child may be not hitting milestones or may need to have some services, and they just don't know what they're walking into. So I think this has been a really great overview. And I know you gave some tips and tricks for families. Are there any kind of last hints that you feel like either professionals or families may need as they're thinking about this IFSP process?
Organization is key for both professionals and families. As a professional, I always kept like a file folder, or now I would keep an electronic folder of all of the documents that I would use either in that lead up to the IFSP, during the IFSP meeting, and then after to follow up with the family. One of those documents is the family's rights and responsibilities document. And if you're able to provide that to a family before the meeting, that can be one tool to ease some of that anxiety that the family might be feeling before their IFSP meeting. I think, again, providing families with as much information that helps them feel comfortable and confident going into this meeting while not overwhelming them or bogging them down with too much technical information is important. So we want to be transparent, but we don't want to start going off with our professional jargon or all of this stuff. Make sure that we're talking to families in a way that they can understand. That's only going to build their confidence as they go into this meeting. And for the families, keeping a binder of that assessment, those assessment outcomes, Maybe you have some feedback or notes from other caregivers that your child spends time with. Maybe you've been making notes of changes that you've seen even in your child since that evaluation process has happened. You know, like we said, development's happening really fast in children at this young age. So you might make notes of things that you want to bring back to the IFSP team, of things that you've noticed or things that have changed since those evaluations and assessments have happened. I'd also say for families to really rely and lean in on their service coordinator. This is someone that you've met, that you've started building a relationship with, that knows a little bit about you and your child. And that person is really there to advocate for you and to help you find your voice if you need that type of assistance, or to remind the team that you are the voice we're listening to as the family member. But at the same time, if that's not enough, you can always invite someone else, your support person, your personal advocate, to go to an IFSP team meeting with you. Now, it's good practice to let the service coordinator know that you're going to be bringing an advocate or grandma or the class, you know, their teacher at childcare, whoever that might be. But it is within your rights to bring whoever you'd like to that meeting to help you mentally, emotionally, or otherwise during that IFSP meeting.
Sometimes it's just nice to have another set of ears, right?
Exactly. Or someone to take notes for you while you're really listening intently. They could be jotting down notes or questions and things like that. It is nice to have a second set of eyes and ears and hands in this type of meeting, because it can be really overwhelming and intense. And families know that it's overwhelming and intense for professionals too. But in the end, we all want to walk out with a plan that's going to support this child's development, help you be confident and secure in your role in this process and in how you can support your child in those day-to-day interactions too.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for sharing all of your wealth of knowledge for this process. I will have your email address in our show notes in case people have any more questions, they can reach out to you. But I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. I love talking about IFSPs and kids and families. So anytime, I'm happy to join.
Thank you for listening to our podcast from StarNet Regions 1 and 3. If you'd like to find out more about us, please visit us at starnet.org.